The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, I'm Jill Redding. I played Dolores on The Wire, and you're listening to the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 284. I hope all is well with you, and thank you for checking out this episode of the PVD cast. My guest on this installment is a fellow podcaster. He lives in Michigan. His name is Tim Beisiegel. And he is the man that created the Focused on Forward podcast, and he is also one of the guest hosts of the Funny Science Fiction podcast. Now, Tim's going to tell us all about these two podcasts. I'm going to give just a brief synopsis. The Focused on Forward podcast features individuals coming on and talking with Tim about obstacles that they've overcome, whether it's an abusive relationship or drug addiction or they beat cancer or whatnot. It's a very inspiring podcast, and Tim talks about why he created it and all the ins and outs of that podcast. And the Funny Science Fiction podcast is pretty self-explanatory. The hosts, of which Tim is one of them, sit around and talk about funny science fiction stories. They interview some guests. It's a great, fun podcast, especially if you're a sci-fi nerd, of which Tim is. We talk about Star Wars. We talk a little bit about Star Trek. We also jump into some hockey because Tim is a huge Red Wings fan. So it's got a little bit of everything for you. So you definitely do not want to miss this great episode. And you know what? I'm going to plug my sponsor and then we're going to take a quick break. And then you're going to hear my conversation with Tim. So let me go ahead and remind you that this episode is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they got tons of comics, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, back issues, collectibles, posters, you name it, they got it. So stop on over to the store, especially if you're in the Central Ohio area. But if you're not, don't worry, you can check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're even on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. All right, with that out of the way, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with fellow podcaster Tim Beisiegel. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I am sitting down with a fellow podcaster who has two podcasts, much like myself. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tim Beisiegel. How are you doing, Tim?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing real good, man.
Oh, that's good. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. You are the man behind the Focus on Forward podcast.
Yes.
And the Funny Science Fiction podcast.
Well, I'm one of the people on Funny Science Fiction. I'm one of three co-hosts.
Okay.
And then we got a few folks behind the scenes helping us carry out the day-to-day stuff that I just don't have time to do or whatever else. So
could you explain to the listeners, what is the Focused on Forward podcast? What is it all about?
Well, sure. So in 2019, my daughter was diagnosed with a condition called Guillain-Barré syndrome, and she ended up spending 97 days in the hospital. 33 of those were in the intensive care unit, and we nearly lost her twice. So coming out of the hospital, as any parent may understand, my head was a bag of wet cats. And I was trying to handle things on my own, wasn't really sure what I was doing, how I was doing. So I decided to go to therapy and I get some counseling. I started talking with a counselor and she was really very helpful, very insightful as to some of the things that I was going going on with me and helped me to understand that even though I was not the one in the bed, that I too had experienced some trauma and I needed to handle that trauma. So she suggested that I write a book. Now, I barely read books, so I wasn't about to sit down and write a book. That just wasn't going to happen. I'm not a writer. I do, however, talk a lot. And so she suggested maybe that I think of making a video blog. So I talked to another friend of mine. By the way, if anybody is looking for a new podcast to listen to, his name is Tommy and his buddy Dan. They host a podcast called the Curiosity Hour Podcast. And I strongly recommend anybody who's looking for an awesome podcast to listen to go check out the Curiosity Hour Podcast. It's what I want Focused on Forward to be when it grows up. It's a very open, honest, very blunt show about life and how people go through it and finding their authentic selves. And it's a very cool show that way. So I was talking with my buddy Tommy, and he said, well, why don't you think about starting a podcast? And I said, well, nobody's going to want to hear that story. You know, I can only do a couple episodes about that, and then everybody's going to get bored with the story. So we decided, or I decided rather, based on his suggestion and somebody else's suggestion, to make it about stories of people overcoming obstacles and challenges and things that they've gone through in life. And we've had some incredibly amazing and touching stories. People who, anywhere from special needs parents to people who have dealt with cancer, loss of a mate, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, how they've overcome all of these things. And really, and we use the saying often in the show, you know, about how they became focused on forward, because that was a saying that we had while we were in the hospital. So my wife and I, we would talk about it, you know, at things that we were going to do as a family after my daughter came out of the hospital. Well, that's a little bit down the road, but we're going to focus on forward. And so it was a really, when it came time to name the show, it was a pretty easy jump from focus on forward to focused on forward, you know, because that was a continual motto for our family. It's kind of our mantra.
How's the feedback been from people who have listened to the show? Because I imagine that there's probably, for every guest that you have on that battles some type of obstacle, that you might get emails or texts or tweets or whatnot from people going, yeah, I totally understand where that person's coming from.
I have. I've gotten some nice messages back. I was not that I check often, but I honestly, I was setting up a new webpage for Focused on Forward today. And I was there was a section where I could add reviews from Apple. And I haven't looked at all the other places and sites where you could possibly look. And there's too many podcast destinations. But from Apple, I'm carrying a 5-star rating. And I don't have a ton of reviews. But I think I have like 18 or something, but they're all 5 stars. And a lot of them are thanking me for the show, thanking me for the honesty of the guests who have come on. I've received some private messages on both Twitter and Instagram from people who either want to be on the show or have thanking me for the person who they just listened to, because although the stories aren't identical, there's something that they can identify with and there's something in that story that's helped them to be able to move forward.
Would you say that probably maybe the biggest issue that faces our society is this mental health crisis that we have?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the thing is, and I say this pretty often on the show, I'm not a doctor and I'm not going to try to prescribe anything. I'm not going to try and fix you or anything like that. But I do feel an urgency to call to attention the need for better insight into mental health, mm-hmm. whether it's insight for yourself and you're looking into ways that you can help yourself. And especially because over the last 2 years, between 2020 and now into 2021, with everything that's gone on with the pandemic, and there, you know, there's been quarantines and there's been isolation away from other people. Just about everybody is having some level of mental health issue. Just about everybody, because whether they want to admit it or not, humans are a social animal. We like to be around other humans for the most part. There are a few, there's exceptions to the rule, you know, my son being one of them. He was pretty happy for the first few months of the quarantine. He's a, you know, introvert. He likes being away from other people. So that wasn't so bad to him. You mean I get to stay in my room and play video games? This is great, Dad. but you know, but for the most part, all of us are struggling in one way or another. And so to draw attention to that, you know, is very important to me. So you look across the board, you look at people who former military and the way that many times they're not getting the help and the assistance that they need.
Yeah.
And the suicide rates among former military is skyrocketing. You look at, you know, men and women, single men and women across the country who are taking their lives at an increasingly alarmingly rate. Teenagers are doing the same because there's this overbearing burden of what's happened over the last couple of years, and nobody really knows how to deal with it. And then you stack on top of that the fact that men in our country typically don't like to admit that there's something wrong with them. I personally identify with that because that's what I was. I was afraid to say that I had some level of PTSD. I was afraid to say that I had some level of trauma because I didn't want somebody to think of me as weak. I didn't want somebody to look at me and go, man, he couldn't handle that. Really? This kid was just in the hospital. It's no big deal. You know, because our society tells us that to be a man and to be masculine, you have to bottle up your emotions. You have to, you know, hold all these things as different and, you know, keep your fears and your inhibitions to yourself. So I think it's very important for, you know, in particular, I talk a lot about, you know, men reaching out and saying, hey, you know, it's okay to say that you're not okay. It's okay to ask for help. And so, yes, mental health to me is extremely important. And I think it's something that very much so needs to be discussed.
And I agree with you 110%. And I fear that if we don't start actually talking about it and having serious conversations about it, I think it's going to be a problem that's going to grow and grow and grow and be worse because, Tim, let's be honest, our society has become stressful. Even every single day, every single month, every single year gets more stressful. That's just how our society is, you know. Mm-hmm. And we could sit here and debate how we could make it not so stressful, but the reality is it is. It is what it is, you know,
absolutely,
with technology and with everything. And I think that we're at a juncture in our history where if we don't start addressing that issue, it's going to be, I hate to use the word pandemic, but it's going to be a huge problem that mm-hmm. is going to take a lot of effort to get squared away.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think about it too, when you mentioned the juncture in history that we're at, we're at a time in history where, unlike any other, where technology reigns.
Yeah.
You know, had this happened in the 80s when I was a kid or 90s when I was a teenager, you know, technology wasn't as rampant as it was. And it was more likely that the people who were living in the same household were going to talk and interact and with one another. You know, nowadays it's a challenge to get somebody's nose out of their phone, out of their tablet, off their computer. You know, and there's ways that technology brings us together, like what we're doing right now. This is one way that technology helps bring us together. But we have to be careful because technology also divides. So you have to be careful that it's not causing an additional problem on top of the health risks and things that are going on in the world around us.
As a kid, because, you know, I'm a child of the 80s too, Tim. You know, when you got done high school, it might have been a terrible day. It might have just sucked royally. But when you went home, you went home. And it was, you know what I mean? Like, yep. You didn't have that following you. And I think that unfortunately in our society now, you have a sucky day at high school. Guess what? It follows you on Facebook. It follows you on Twitter. It follows you, you know, other places. And yeah, I get it. I totally get it. And I think that this is something that we really should. Mental health in general is by far, to me, the number one issue we need to take care of.
I agree. It's definitely in the top three for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's talk about the funny science fiction podcast. All right. We're going to switch gears because people at home are probably like, man, this is heavy. It is, but let's lighten it up.
This got deep quick.
Well, tell us, what is the funny science fiction podcast all about?
Well, the funny science fiction podcast was started. Well, if I could talk today, it'd be great. It was started by our founder. His name is Drayton Allen. He's a writer. And so he has written a whole series of different sci-fi books, and he got some advice that instead of advertising or promoting the book, to promote the genre. So he started a Facebook group, and it's called, coincidentally, Funny Science Fiction. So I was friends with one of his sons, and I got invited to join the Facebook page, so I did. And I became an admin on the page, and then I started focused on Forward. And he goes, hey, you should talk to my other son, who's his daughter, when she was born, went through the NICU. They were there for like 3 months, had a whole bunch of health issues. So I had his son, Josh, on the show. And then after that, Drayton came to me and said, we should do a podcast for our group. Because at the time we had about 35,000 members. And he said, we should do something for the group. Maybe do a podcast. And I said, well, I got a microphone. So, I got a headset. Let's do this. And that's basically how it got started. We started kind of putzing around trying to figure it out. And finally, we just dove in and did it. Josh and Drayton no longer co-host with me. They've had some other things come up. Josh's daughter had some more health challenges and things. So we're hoping one day he's able to come back and help out again on the show. But for the time being, Drayton does more stuff in the background, mainly because he's writing a few books and he wants to be able to pay his utmost attention to those, but he still holds the executive producer title. He jumps in and says hi to each one of the guests before and after, and thanks them for being on. So the book that started all of this is a book called Custodians of the Cosmos, and it's a pretty funny story. I actually get a kick out of it. It's about a guy who wanted to join Starfleet in the Star Trek universe, but he washed out of the academy, and so he rejoined as a custodian. And the tagline of the book is that he boldly goes to clean up after those who boldly just went. So he started this Facebook group off of that book. And right now, I think we're up to 122,000 members in the group. And we're having a lot of fun. We've had opportunity to interview some really cool people on Funny Science Fiction. We've interviewed a great cast of different voice actors. We've interviewed Dayton Ward. I always get Drayton and Dayton confused. So Dayton, if you hear this, I'm very sorry. I screwed up your name again. And I do say again, because I screwed it up every time I talk to him. It's only confusing for me. Everybody else in the world can get it. I screw up Drayton and Dayton. But Dayton Ward is a New York Times bestselling Star Trek novelist. He also does some work with the Star Trek TV shows. So we had a really great conversation with him. Let's see, who else have we talked to? We've had a great Dan Povenmire, the co-creator of Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I'm a huge Phineas and Ferb fan. My kids growing up watched it all the time. And I got to, he was also involved with shows like SpongeBob SquarePants. And I got to thank him for inventing the campfire song, which if you know what that is, you already hate me and possibly Dan as well. But I thanked him for that and letting my kids get a hold of that one and sing it forever. We just interviewed Anna Graves, who is the voice of Duchess Satine on Star Wars Clone Wars. And she's actually going to be on our live show tomorrow night. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so we've had an absolute blast doing Funny Science Fiction. For me, it's kind of like a dream come true, because I'm a kid in a candy store. I'm a huge sci-fi fan. I grew up as a massive Star Wars fan. I always say that, and if you've heard me talk on anybody else's podcast, or even my own, I say that Star Wars is like my marriage. It's been there for me in sickness and health, good times and bad. I've watched it when I was happy. I've watched it when I was sad. And as I've gotten older and more things were added to the Star Wars universe, it just means I got more things to add to my candy store.
Okay. So I'm going to throw this out there, because the theory is with Star Wars, and I prescribe to this theory.
Okay.
The Star Wars you grew up with is the best Star Wars. Do you find that to be true or false, Tim?
I find it to be true, but maybe not for the same reasons that a lot of people would.
Okay.
I find it to be true because that's the one that's been with me the most. It's the one that's the most familiar. It's the old faithful that you keep in your back pocket. You know, it's always going to be there. You know, every line from it, because you watched it 3 times a week while you were a kid, and now you're in your 40s and you've had 30, plus years to ruminate on this. So whereas, it's only been 15, 20 years on some of these other movies. It's not because I think that they're better than the other movies, because as an open and honest Star Wars fan, I can look at the original trilogy and see some amazingly wonderful gaps in stories and issues that are just as present in the prequels and the sequel trilogies. So I don't, I think George Lucas is an amazing, wonderful, creative mind who should never be allowed to direct or write a movie. I am thankful that he created Star Wars, but I think he should stay out of the director's chair.
Okay. Do you have other favorites in the genre of sci-fi?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What am I at? So this one is kind of I call it the kissing cousin, because although it's not entirely sci-fi, there's a movie based on Star Wars that I absolutely love. It's called Fanboys.
Oh, yeah. I have a copy of it in my DVD rack. I love Fanboys.
God, absolutely love that movie. So for those at home playing the home version of this show, Fanboys is a great show about a bunch of kids in the mid-90s, right before Phantom Menace comes out, and they're going to go from somewhere in Ohio. I can't remember exactly in Ohio where they were at, but they're going to go from Ohio to California to try and break into Lucas Ranch. And it's all about their quest to do that and everything else. And what they got away with sound effects and cameos and, you know, Billy Dee Williams has a cameo in it. Carrie Fisher has a cameo in it. And, you know, a couple other people. But as far as actual other universes, I love the movie The Fifth Element.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's absolutely, yeah, one of my all-time favorite shows. It's one of those things where it's got just enough action, just enough humor. Mm-hmm.
If I can interrupt for a minute, Fanboys,
yeah,
is a very underrated movie. Kristen Bell is in it. Is it Jay Baruchel, I think is how you say his name.
Yes, that guy.
I love my favorite part of the whole thing is when they get busted and the security guard's asking them sexual stuff, and the only one that knows anything is Kristen Bell, which is hilarious. Like the and rest
she,
of them are
and
all.
Then she punches the security guard.
Yeah, right. Yes, that's the best part.
Yeah,
I was in tears watching that sequence.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. It was fantastic. If you haven't seen it, you need to go see it. It's a fantastic film.
Yeah, I strongly recommend that to anybody. Even if you're you don't really consider yourself a Star Wars fan, you watch it because it's on TV. Even if that's the only way that you've ever watched Star Wars or appreciated Star Wars in any form, still go watch Fanboys, because you don't need to know backstory or lore or anything. Just go for the jokes. It's beautifully awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge Trek fan, but okay. I do like the J.J. Abrams reboot, which also puts me in the crosshairs of almost every Trekkie I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be careful because they're dangerous and everywhere. But the only thing out of the original series that I ever really liked, though, was The Wrath of Khan. The Search for Spock, I thought was okay. And there was one episode of the original series that I liked, which was called Space Seed, which was how we got to meet Khan and why there was friction between him and Kirk.
I remember that episode.
Yeah, I think it was in the very first season of the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, past that, Star Trek just never really held anything for me. I liked the fantasy of Star Wars, and I was like, Star Trek doesn't have any cool laser swords, they can't move things with their mind, they're stupid. So
I was a kid. I have a respect for Star Trek, I guess is the way that I describe it. I'm not a huge fan, but I have a respect for it. Like, I appreciate it. The original series, I appreciate The Next Generation. I never really got into the other ones.
Right.
The movies, there are some really good ones and there's some awful ones.
Right.
For me, overall, I've just kind of been a casual fan, I guess you could say is the best way.
Well, my appreciation for Star Trek has grown over the years, especially in the last year or so since I've started the Funny Science Fiction podcast. And the reason for that is you get around all these Trekkies or Trekkers or however they want to call themselves, this week. Their appreciation for Star Trek, I see it as equal to my appreciation for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of becomes very infectious. You start looking at I like to pick their brains. Okay, so what was it about Star Trek that you like? What was it that you didn't like? If you could change this thing, what would it be? If you could change that thing, what would it be? And so for me, that's kind of helped me get a different perspective on it. And I've done the same thing with Star Wars, too, when we've had people on and talking with them. Well, I like to ask people, especially when people come on our show and we talk about Star Wars, I like to ask, You know, what was your entry point into the Star Wars fandom? Because that also tells me a lot about who they are as a Star Wars fan. You know, and I can almost guess, you know, a lot of times, you know, who your favorite character is going to be based on your entry point and which was your favorite movie and things like that. It's not an exact science, and I'd say I'm right about 18% of the time, but, you know, I have fun with it. It's a low percentage point, but I have fun with it. You know, so I've come to appreciate Star Trek more. I still realize that episodes or the movies 2 and 3 were pretty much it for me as far as the original movies. I lost it when they started talking to whales. And, you know, although it was funny to see Scotty sit there, you know, hello, computer. That was funny. That was more Chekhov than Scotty. That was pretty sad Scottish accent. But it's the reason why I'm not a paid voice actor. I only talk to him. Yeah, so for me, you know, I realized that that's where my appreciation for the original Trek kind of stopped. I like what J.J. Abrams did because, and I'll be honest, I always say this too, there are more Star Wars than Star Trek. They focus more on the fanciful outsides, and it's more glitz and glam than the original Star Trek ever was. So, and that's what I always felt Star Trek was missing. It was too matter of fact, almost too sciencey, not enough fiction.
Okay.
And that's what I wanted out of something, because being a Star Wars fan, that's what I was used to. You know, I like the space fantasy, and this was too much science fiction. So, you know, I was trying to find a balance between the two. And so that's where I think the Abrams mix comes in.
Okay. So I'm going to ask, since you stated you're in your 40s, do you have some cool Star Wars toys in your collection?
Yes.
Back in the 70s?
Now, you can't, they won't be able to see it, but
no,
right here
no.
on the screen behind me, if you look, that's an original Hoth set.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's the original Hoth set. And there's an original Chewbacca. There's a Luke action figure from The Return of the Jedi. And hold on, let me grab this real quick.
Yeah, folks, this is some awesome stuff. I wish I was doing video, but anywho.
Yeah, I know. This kind of gets lost in translation. But for you guys at home who are listening to this over your phone or computer or however you're choosing to listen to it, you'll just have to imagine that what I'm holding up is just really, really very cool. But this is a 1978 die-cast Kenner Millennium Falcon with landing gear and, you know, workable antennas and gunner station. And it is in wonderful. It's from Kenner, isn't it?
Yeah, it would have been Kenner. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I got this as a graduation gift in 1995.
Wow.
One of my buddies gave it to me, and that is one of my prized possessions because it's in such great shape.
Do you remember, and not many people remember this, but do you remember when they made the mini play sets with the like pewter figures?
Mm-hmm.
Not many people remember those because I had the Cloud City setup that had the Han with the handcuffs. You'd put him on the little plastic thing. You'd put him down, spin, and you'd pull up, and it would be the carbonite, you know, pewter figure. Okay. I had that. Yeah. I had the Hoth one where it was with the Wampa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't personally have it, but my rich buddy, had it. And growing up, it was just my mom, my brother, and I for a few years. And my mom was ridiculously poor. But we had a buddy whose parents had more money than they know what to do with. And this kid had every Justice League toy. He had every Star Wars toy. He had all the cool, you know, WWF wrestling figures, you know, the posable, you know.
Yes.
And we had these awesome, we'd do our own, you know, WrestleManias and things in the room and set up the multiple, because he had multiple rings. And so, you know, he'd do his matches over there. I'd do my matches over here, and we'd bring them together in the center and have now my guy's going to suplex you. You already suplexed me. Yeah, I know, but it's my turn, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I'd go over to his house all the time, man. And I'd play till I couldn't see straight. Because he had all these cool toys, man. You know, you know, it's amazing how quickly Batman becomes a Jedi.
good, Good deal. I like that. He would be one awesome Jedi. Let's just say he'd
kick some serious butt. That's for sure.
That is true. Very true. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Tim for just one moment to let you know about World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they're a proud sponsor of the PVD cast, and they are also your one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got it all. Single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, back issues, a world-class pull system. Basically, they got you covered for your comic book fandom. So stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or if you're not in the Central Ohio area, you can find them online. Just go to wgcomics.com or search on Facebook. Just look for @WGComics. And if you interact with anybody from World's Greatest Comics, please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD cast. Well, let's talk about you are a fan of the Red Wings, as you have a Red Wings hat on and you have some paraphernalia in the back. So what are your earliest memories of being a fan of the Red Wings, and what are your thoughts on the team right now and whatnot?
Well, my earliest memories, whatever you want to call it, of the Red Wings was, I want to say it was 1994. The Wings were in the playoffs, and I was really excited because I thought, you know, I was just starting to figure out what hockey was, because up to that point in time, I really hadn't paid attention to hockey. Mm-hmm. I had paid more attention to basketball and football. I was, a Pistons fan, and split my allegiances between the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears, depending on who was losing worse that weekend and who I could, you know, cry less about. So about 1994, when the Wings were in the playoffs, I remember one of my buddies going over to their house, and we were watching the playoff game, and the Wings used to have a center by the name of Keith Primo. And I liked him because he was big, and he would run over people, and he scored a lot. And, I just thought he was the coolest thing. And my buddy, his brother, used to give me such crap for liking Keith Primo, because he thought he had stone hands and he thought he was horrible. And, That was like my first memory of being at his house playing. You know, we were playing Nintendo downstairs, came up for the game, eating pizza. And I'm like asking every couple of seconds, what are they doing now? What are they doing? How come that guy's got the puck? What are they doing? And then after that, I was also the type of person that I don't like not knowing something. That also, and I didn't like the fact that I thought his brother was a jerk. and I'm like, I'm going to show him next year. I'm going to know so much about hockey. And that was part of what drove me into liking the sport, is that I was going to learn enough about hockey so I could get him to shut up, because I didn't know enough at the time. And all I could say is, he's big and he hits people. That's why I like him. That's all I had. So I went with it. I stuck with it until the next year. And I could, and I understood what icing was, and I understood the difference between a winger and a centerman and a defenseman, and, why this guy didn't come all the way up the ice and why he might hang back, and, all this different stuff. I think my next memory jumps to 1997, fight night at the Joe.
Oh yeah.
Watching Patrick Waugh get pummeled. I didn't even care so much that, McCarty handled the business with the turtle. I mean, don't get me wrong, McCarty is my all-time favorite player. Mm-hmm. I love Darren McCarty, and I actually got to meet him a couple years ago, which was just killer for me. He was having a book signing. My wife works at Ferris State University in Big Rapids, Michigan, and Ferris State Bulldogs, we've had season tickets to them for years. They're a Division II school, I believe, but they're a Division I hockey. Mm-hmm. So they play a lot of the big teams. So it's really cool. They have this little stadium, little school, big teams come in, and it's fun to watch. So they had a signing one night, and McCarty was there with his book. So I got him to sign his book, and for $5, you could have him, it was either $5 or $10, you could have him sign anything you wanted. Well, again, folks at home can't see it, but on the door behind me, there's a Red Wings softball jersey. Every year, the Detroit Red Wings have a charity softball game, except for 2020 and probably not 2021, because screw you, COVID. but I had found this Red Wings jersey at a thrift store. So I took it in that night on the off chance that it was actually an authentic jersey, an authentic softball jersey. And McCarty said, yeah, I have one just like this at home. He says, the ones without the names and numbers at the back are the ones that we gave away to the fans. And I was like, oh, so Darren McCarty has signed my Red Wing softball jersey behind me. So that's never leaving my sight.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the team over the last couple of seasons? What do you think?
Well, it's hard to go through a rebuild.
Right.
It's hard to be positive during a rebuild, but I think that we have a lot of good things going for us. I respect Kenny Holland, but I'm glad he's no longer the GM. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of his tenure, we were handing out we were handing out no trade clauses like, you know, you're a kid on the corner giving out sticks of gum. Everybody who's coming in, almost every contract. That's why we got stuck with Jonathan Erickson for so long, because he had a no trade, no movement clause, which was ridiculous because the man was a human turnstile. Like I said, I respect what Kenny Holland did, because for years he was the premier GM in the league, in my opinion. Nobody was out of reach. He could get anybody he wanted. But when the team started to decline, he didn't recognize that, and he didn't take the steps necessary. He didn't draft accordingly. He didn't sign free agents accordingly. So over the last couple of years, it's been kind of nice to see some of the moves that Steve Yzerman has made. I am very, very ecstatic about the future of the Red Wings. I was nervous about the trade this year, trading away Anthony Mantha. He was mm-hmm. one of my favorite players to watch. Again, I like big power forwards. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Mantha is the prototype big power forward. And so to see him and his slap shot go away was a little tough for me. But we brought in this kid named Jacob Varana.
Yes.
Who is ridiculous. Oh, my goodness. I still think that Yzerman has dirty pictures of the Washington GM somewhere, because he has to. That's all I can figure.
Well, see, and I'm one of the few people in my friends that said that was a win for Detroit, because you know, I feel like Mantha's been banged up a lot these last couple of seasons. He's not in the rhythm. You got mm-hmm. Varana, who is good, and I forget who else came over with Varana.
Richard Panik.
Panik, correct. Yeah. Panik came over, and he's a solid third and fourth line guy.
Yeah, he's a great contributor.
Yeah,
and we got a draft pick out of it. So yeah. That's why I said we got dirty pictures of somebody somewhere, because Stevie Y knows something that we don't. And that's been clear. But, you know, the way he's drafted, I can't wait for next season for Moritz Seider to come up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He has absolutely torn apart the European leagues this year. Mm-hmm. my son is also an avid Wings fan, just as I am. And we watch a lot of his highlights on YouTube and now, granted, some of the folks that he's playing against over there look like he's playing in a Pee Wee Junior League, because some of these kids that he is, and I do mean demolishing with these hip checks, they shouldn't even be allowed to be on the same ice as this guy, because Moritz Seider is, I think he's like 6'2", 6'3". He's a solidly built kid, and he is trucking dudes that are 5'8", 5'9".
Oh, jeez. That isn't fair.
No, it's not. It's not. But I like to think that we are in the right direction. I like Jeff Blashill as a coach, but I don't think he'll be back. He's a good teacher, but he's good with young kids. He's proven that at Western Michigan. I remember him being in Western Michigan because Western used to come up to Ferris State, and I remember him being the coach of Western, actually while Danny DeKeyser was there. And I remember the two of them being there. And he's proven that in Grand Rapids too. You know, he won the Calder Cup, the AHL. He's proven that he knows how to work with young kids. But I think when he gets to the professional level and trying to work with veterans and things like that, I think something gets lost in the translation. So I personally would like to see him go back to being an AHL level coach and learn how to teach and a little bit better and refine that a little bit better. But I don't think it'll be in the Wings organization, unfortunately. He's a good coach, but he's not the right fit any longer. I'm really hoping that Gerard Gallant has enjoyed his year off, and that Stevie Y's line mate is soon going to join him on the Red Wings, because him and Gallant are longtime friends, And there has been rumors that they've been talking, and I'm hoping that where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think Gallant is a hell of a coach, and I think he'd be a great fit in Detroit because he too is good with young players, but he also, because of being a player's coach and being a former player himself, garners a lot of respect from the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Gallant could be a heck of a fit, and I'm like crossing my fingers and toes, all the ones that I can, and hoping that the hockey gods smile upon us.
I will say one of my all-time greatest memories was going up to see the Joe in its last season. I went up when the Pens played the Wings. A buddy of mine was like, we need to go, man, because this is one of those, you know, hockey meccas that is going to be torn down. And we went, and I'll tell you this, man, it was an experience that I will always remember being that historic building. Yeah, it was great. It was a great time and great memories.
So, you know, I've been to the LCA, Little Caesars Arena. I hate calling it that, so I'll just call it the LCA. I hate that it's called, named after Little Caesars. But anyway, you know, I've been to the LCA a couple times, and it's a great stadium, but it doesn't yet have the feeling and the vibe that the Joe had. You know, the thing about the Joe is that the way that the stadium was angled, especially if you were on the upper tiers, you felt that you were right on top of the ice anyway. You know, and we would always kind of sit at the Joe. We like to sit in section 217. It was right on the corner, right on the line where the Red Wings would shoot twice. Yeah, right on the goal line, right where the Wings would shoot twice. And we would sit there, and you feel like you're right on top of it. And whether the Wings were having a good season or a bad season, the Joe was full, and it was noisy. I realize it's only been a couple years, but unfortunately, the LCA has started off with the Wings kind of being in a funk. And, of course, new stadium, so ticket prices are a little higher. It hasn't filled up like it should. And I'm hoping that maybe next year we'll get back to the playoffs. I'm not holding my breath. I think we're probably 2 years out yet based on the fact that we have some contracts that we need to get rid of. We have some players that need to come up, and there needs to be that balancing out. And sometimes that happens in weeks. Sometimes it takes a whole season.
Yep.
So I'm planning on it taking a whole season.
All right. Well, Tim, we got a couple more questions, and then we'll start wrapping things up.
Yeah, fair away.
Would you like to talk a little bit about River City Tees?
Oh, sure. So, yeah. Boy, you did your homework on me. Okay. So River City Tees is my company that I run. And so I started that because my dad's been in the sign business for ages. When I was going to high school, he was a sign guy. When I was 15, 16 years old, I used, as soon as I got my license, I was going from car dealership to car dealership, putting on graphics packages and pinstripes and, you know, all that kind of stuff on cars and at dealers' lots. So, you know, I had my own truck, and my dad would send me out, and I, you know, go do all this stuff. So, you know, I got married, moved away, came back. I've been working with my dad for like the last 10 years again. And so on the side, because with what he does, it's all about, you know, working with local contractors and things like that. So I learned how to do design work, and I learned how to make my own designs. And I started playing around with Adobe Illustrator and things like that, and started training myself. And some of the stuff that I wanted to do really didn't fit with what he was doing. And so I said, well, I'm going to figure out a way to sell my designs on my own. So I started my company, River City Tees. And I sell them all online. I don't have a brick and mortar store. I don't house any inventory. It's all, you know, order on demand sites that I sell my designs through, and they pay me a commission for everything that I do. My main store is on TeePublic, and currently I think I have 715 designs online. And so whether you want just a silly shirt about camping or outdoors, or, you know, I have a lot of Michigan themed shirts because, you know, hey, I'm a guy from Michigan, but I also have a lot of nerd themed shirts. You know, there's Star Wars shirts on there, not so many Trek shirts, because golly gee whiz, those Star Trekky people keep that under lock and key. They are vicious. There's even a hint of anything Trek on there. Ooh boy, they lock that design down. So, the Star Wars folks are a little more forgiving, but, you know, there's some Doctor Who stuff on there. There's some Back to the Future designs, and you know, all kinds of stuff like that. By the way, earlier we were talking about other Star or other sci-fi universes. Back to the Future, I forgot to bring that up, but that's definitely one of them.
Oh yeah,
That's definitely up there. But yeah, so I started doing that, and then I started branching out and helping other people who had podcasts and things like that design logos for their shows and get their merch online for them, help them to get their merch online, so that, you know, because it's one way that I can help, especially because, you know, some of these guys are guys that helped me, mm-hmm. help me get started and help me get my foot on the ground and said, hey, you know, use this headset, not that headset, use this microphone, not that microphone, do this, don't do that, try out this hosting service instead of that hosting service, or yada yada, you know, different tips and tricks along the way. But so I have fun with that. You know, I love designing logos, and I like putting stuff online and selling it. And so, yeah, that's what I do.
All right. We are recording our conversation on Mother's Day. So I'm just throwing that out there because many, many of my listeners are going to say, this seems like this really out of place. But since we are recording this on Mother's Day, could you, Tim, tell me who is the number one science fiction mother of all time?
The number one? Oh, boy. Okay.
I know I put you on the spot. You weren't.
No, I wasn't, but this is okay.
All right.
Number one science fiction mother of all time. Man. See, you know, part of me wants to be like, it's Padme, but it's not, because she, you know, I know that she loved her children, but she, you know, she never got a chance to be with them or raise them. So mm-hmm. I can't say Padme, because that would be the easy answer, because Star Wars.
How about Princess Leia? I mean, granted, maybe not the best mom. I mean, because, you know, her kid kind of, you know, got a little wacky.
Who do you know? Oh, yeah, Ben, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she also was an adoptive mother to Rey, so I would, you know, she would still be considered a good mom. And besides, you know, you can't blame the mom because the kid's a jerk. I mean, if that's the case, then my mom's at fault for my brother being a total butthead. but that's not her fault either. You know, on some levels, I want to say the mom from Back to the Future, Lorraine. And the reason I say that, and this might seem kind of odd, is because depending on which timeline you're looking at, she is always having to overcome some level of obstacle. Mm-hmm. In the first one, she has this history of a loser husband who's, you know, too afraid of his own shadow, who, you know, and there's some level of trauma there with Biff and everything that's gone on there. And Back to the Future 2, you know, now she's really being traumatized and, you know, all these things that are happening, you know. So, you know, but at the end, I look at it because she has the utmost respect for Marty. You know, Marty loves his mother and he's trying to do everything he can to save his family and protect his mother and father's relationship. So that tells me that she was one heck of a mom. Otherwise, he wouldn't care.
I think that's a solid answer. That's good. That's all right. I like that.
All right, I'm good with it.
All right. Well, Tim, tell folks about upcoming episodes of your podcast, website, social media stuff. Let everybody know where they can find all of the podcast goodness that you put out in the world, man.
Yeah, awesome. For Focused on Forward, actually, if you just search Focused on Forward or Funny Science Fiction, you're going to find a metric ton of links for either show. For Twitter is probably the best way to get a hold of both shows. Twitter is at Funny Sci-Fi, all one word. And then for Focused on Forward, it's at Podcast FOF. So those are probably the two best links, but there's also YouTube channels. Please go like, subscribe, and, you know, all the videos and do the thing there on both of those channels. So as far as upcoming episodes, we release a new episode every Tuesday morning for both shows. And we have a live show every Monday night for Funny Science Fiction. This Monday night, it will be with Anna Graves from Star Wars Clone Wars. She was a guest on a previous episode, and she's going to be on our live show this upcoming week, along with Alan White from Level Up Lightsabers. He's one of our sponsors, and we're going to have him on as well because we're going to talk some Star Wars and cool, you know, cool Jedi weapons and non-Jedi weapons and all that kind of stuff. And then as far as Focused on Forward is concerned, we have a live show every Friday night, 8 p.m. You can, both of these shows you can find on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, you know, all those places. And for Focused on Forward this upcoming week, I have the host of a show called Ignorance Was Bliss. Her name's Kate Wallinga. And Kate has a really interesting story and the reason why she got behind her show. She broke her back in 2014. She talks about her recovery from that. And then she talks about, you know, all these different stories in life from whether it's from PTSD, and her, I think her blog says from PTSD to serial murder, trying to understand why people might do something the way they did it. And so it's kind of an interesting podcast, but it's called Ignorance Was Bliss. And it's a very open, honest, and extremely frank podcast, but it's kind of a cool one to check out.
Cool. Well, Tim, thanks, man, for coming on. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, good, good. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And then on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Tim Beisiegel, talking about his two podcasting projects, the Funny Science Fiction Podcast and the Focused on Forward podcast. Please check them out if you get the opportunity to do so. Tim's a great dude. He's doing some really cool stuff, and I think you should check it out. So speaking of checking things out, I need to let you know where you could check me out in case you want to like shoot me a message and let me know if you like this episode or not. You can do that a bunch of different ways. You could shoot me an email if you want. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can leave me a message on the Instagram and Facebook feeds. Just look for @pvdcast. And you can even find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. And if you would do me the favor of telling everybody you know about the PVDcast, I'd greatly appreciate it. Tell them that they can get it at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. And it's also available through all of those major podcasting platforms. All you got to do is go to your favorite platform, go into the search engine, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it. I don't know why. I think the internet hates me. That's why. But anyways, PVDcast John Orlando in that search engine, and you are sure to find it. And please, as you listen to an episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. Subscribing means you never miss an episode. And if you want, if that's just too much for you to remember, simply just go over to @PVDcast on Facebook and you can hear each weekly episode on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as I do a Facebook broadcast that's simulcast through also the Scene Snobs and the Three Geeks podcast Facebook pages as well. So that's, there you go. If you get confused, you don't know where to go to hear the PVDcast, just go to my Facebook page @PVDcast or check it out through any of those other outlets like the Scene Snobs or Three Geeks podcast as well. I appreciate the support from those folks. And definitely, you know, you should check out the Three Geeks podcast. You should also check out all of the great podcasts on the network of the Scene Snobs. It's thescenesnobs.com. And, you know, listen and let folks know about it because word of mouth is great advertising. I know I'm rambling a little bit, so let's wrap this puppy up, okay? I'm starting to just ramble. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. Thank you for listening one more time, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy.
following has been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.